Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. And today is Monday, September the 18th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we'll be reading from page 154 of the Big Book. The third paragraph down, it begins with, "Of course he couldn't drink." And we'll read through that one paragraph only, ending with music and gay chatter still floated to him from the bar. The comments will be on just that one paragraph. Today's readers are Laura W. for the 12 Steps, Deb E. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of the text are Robin P., Juan East N., and Betsy H. The share ID for yesterday, Sunday special edition, September 17th is 20,651, that's 20651. And for Monday, September the 18th, the 7 a.m. meeting, that's this morning's meeting, is 20,652, that's 20652. Our newcomer greeter is Lorraine N., and our announcements person is Shelley E., and thank you all for your service. Okay, the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Laura W. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Laura of OA.
Good morning. I'm Laura W., recovered in Ohio. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you so much for letting me do service.
Thank you very much, Laura W., and I will now ask Deb E. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning, Mo. This is Deb E. in Montana, and these are the 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service, and I pass.
Yeah, thank you very much, Deb E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. Oh, no, wait a minute. Yeah, that's right. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. I knew I left that out. Sorry. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And then once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 154, the third paragraph down, beginning with, "Of course he couldn't drink," and it ends with, "Music and gay chatter still floated to him from the bar." And now we'll ask Robin P. to get us started. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thanks, Mo, for your service. I'm Robin P. I'm a really grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm currently in Wellington, Florida. Of course he couldn't drink, but why not sit hopefully at a table, a bottle of ginger ale before him? After all, had he not been sober 6 months now, perhaps he could handle, say, 3 drinks, no more. Fear gripped him. He was on thin ice. Again, it was the insidious insanity, that first drink. With a shiver, he turned away and walked down the lobby to the church directory. Music and gay chatter still floated to him from the bar. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness, that feeling of how did this happen? Russian roulette. Oh, I'll just do. That denial, don't even know that I'm lying. I can do. Oh, this time will be different. I can handle it this time. Oh, my gosh, there's already a party going on. Like, whatever the lie is. And it's such a blessing. Right choice. And thank God he made the right choice, because all of us are here today because he made that right choice and he listened to the prompting of whatever his Holy Spirit was or Holy Angels, whatever that prompting, that still small voice that always tells me how to do the right thing and how to go help someone else instead of getting into trouble. And I'm so grateful because the past 7.5 years, it's been one day at a time of me listening to that still small voice and going and helping someone else and being of service and to God and my fellows instead of whatever that prompting. And before the program, when that voice said, oh, go eat, oh, you know, it was like, take me to your leader. And it wasn't a good leader. And food was my God. And it wasn't a good God. It never filled that God hole. If it would have filled that God hole, it would have filled my God hole. So, and it just never did. And it just made me have two problems instead of one. And I'm so grateful today that I know and I have solutions and I have the steps and I have my God squad and I know to be of service. And it's just a completely different life. And I'm eternally grateful to all of you and to God. And thank you so much, Mo, for your service, and I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Robin P., for getting us started. And so I want to remind everybody that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So 3 days back would be Wednesday. And I'm now going to open the floor for others who'd like to share on that paragraph. We're on page 154, third paragraph down. Begins with, of course he couldn't drink. And it ends with music and gay chatter still floated to him from that bar. Who would like to share this morning?
Letty G.
Letty G.
Christ S. in Washington.
Christ S. in Washington. Thank you, Christ.
Deborah G.
O.
I got Deborah G. And I think there was a Bessie O. Bessie O. Anyone else? If not, what we'll do is we'll go with that group. I have Letty G.
Carol R.
S. Carol. Was that Carol R?
Pearl R.
Pearl. Sorry about that. All right. So I have Letty G., Chris S., Deborah G., Bessie O., and Pearl R. Everyone else mute your phone except for Letty G. Thank you. Good morning, Letty.
Good morning, Mo. I hope I could collect my thoughts. I've decided to go for a walk to clear my mind because this paragraph, I'm at a turning point. I'm relatively new, supposedly recovered, but right now I'm starting to question my recovery. I'm at a point where I've been so blessed and felt so strong in my program and so on fire, but my husband wants to travel, and I know that if I take God with me and my program and hold on real tight, that I can have what I've been generously been given and hold on to it. But I do have fears. There's the trip is going to be very exotic with foods that I'm not accustomed to eating anymore, and cocktails and the lime life and excitement. I'm in my 60s, and I'm thinking of all that I've missed, and I'm afraid that I will be weak and take that bite that's going to take me down that rabbit hole that is caused so much angst and so much unhappiness. And I just, I don't know. I needed to share that. It's like, this is all bringing this trip, this vacation. It's not coming till November, but I've already started getting real anxious about it. And I am praying quite a bit about it. And I feel strong here at home, but I just keep thinking of all the years that I've suffered with this, and I'm afraid, and it's sort of fair to my husband if I say no, I'm not going. So anyways, that's where I'm at. He is so excited about going on this trip, and he he's one of us, but he doesn't have what I have, and he's happy doing what he's doing. So I want to let him be, but I need to stay strong, keep my people near me, and know that God will take care of me. I need to believe that. Anyways, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for all the service, and thank you for this beautiful meeting that I'm going to have with me wherever this trip takes me. Thank you, guys. Have a beautiful day. Love you, guys. And I pass.
Oh, thank you, Letty G. Prayers for you. Chris S., followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Chris. Press star 1 to unmute.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you all for your service. This is Chris S. in Washington. And I'm just going to paraphrase here a little bit this paragraph. Of course, I couldn't eat, but why not hopefully sit at a table and enjoy the company? Maybe a bite or two of the snacks provided. What a slippery slope if I choose that option. What a slippery slope. My disease is one of eat as much as I want and then restrict till I get back to that weight that I want. And because I've done that so much over my life, I've never carried a lot of weight, but the disease is there. And I am so grateful for this program. I'm so grateful for the Vision program. It goes further. He was on thin ice, doing that, thin ice. I was there yesterday. I wanted to sit on the couch. I wanted to watch TV, and I wanted to go get something to snack on. And if I start snacking, I am on slippery ice. Instead, I reached for that telephone, and I had a wonderful conversation with one of the Vision, well, a Vision sister. Thank you. Thank you so much. I have choices today, and this is a paragraph, and the next paragraph. Words to remind me that I have choices. I do not have to pick up the food. Instead, I can pick up the tools. And one of the best tools for me is to make that outreach call. And, you know, I can call a stranger from the Vision directory. I can call a stranger from the other meetings that I attend. And all I have to say, this is Chris. It's an outreach call. That's all I have to say. And I can hear the air pressure change between the miles over the line of that telephone. I'm so grateful for anyone who picks up that phone and will listen to what's tempting me. And it's usually what somebody else said or something that happened that tempts me to medicate that and put that feeling away. I have choices today. I can turn aside from the talk in my head. I can turn aside from the refrigerator. I can turn aside for where there's some snacks for my grandchildren. I am so grateful that God has put that thought into my head too. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chris S. Up next is Deborah G, followed by Bessie O. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mo, and thank you so much for your service and everyone for their service making this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, because I can so relate to these words, because I live like that on an ongoing basis, you know, believing the lies that I was telling myself. You know, and going with it, you know, not having any power and going with the thinking about it, the distorted, like someone shared, the delusional thinking that isn't true. It's all stories, all lies that I told myself. But I did not see that until I finally really woke up unconscious from that unconsciousness. And got conscious to see the reality of the truth. And when I did that, and then I started taking the actions, which some have already shared, the actions, then I got to see the truth again and the reality, and I didn't have to do that anymore. And when I learned, when I went through those beautiful 12 steps, was I got neutrality, and I also got the grace of that power. So today, if I recognize something like that in my head, which I do now because I feel like I've been bathed in that grace, I see it. I have that awareness today that that's what's going on, and I can take some action into it rather than not seeing it. You know, that's the gift, awareness. My sponsor reminds me, stay alert, aware, awake, and alive. And I'm so grateful that even on this meeting, you're waking me up, waking me up. Thank you all so much for 12-stepping me today.
Well, thank you very much, Deborah G. Up next is Bessie O, followed by Pearl R. And after Pearl R, I'll pick another lineup. All right. Good morning, Bessie.
Good morning. This is Bessie O, recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. Thank you for taking the lead and for the shares this morning. This is a scene that I feel is etched in my mind. You know, just this image that I have of this person standing there and then walking away, you know, from that bar. And this just applies to so many areas of my life. You know, at night I do the nightly review. I answer the questions on page 86. And in those questions, two of the questions are, were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others? And you know, I can so relate to this passage in everything that I've heard this morning, you know, like walking away, you know, like substituting food and then thinking about those food situations, thinking about those situations where, you know, where did I choose God? You know, where did I choose God over these comforts? Because that's really what helping others gets me into. So I think about that scene, and the way I consider it is like how it plays out right now is, you know, working, where am I choosing, where am I putting my time? What am I doing when those emotions come up? You know, because we have, and it's just such a beautiful description of, you know, that thin ice. I'm getting a little defocused from what I wanted to say, but what I really wanted to say is that this just reminds me of these opportunities that are all during the day. Like for me, in the evenings, you know, sometimes I just want to do some self-soothing, not necessarily with food, but, you know, just other things. And when I sit there and think, okay, do I want to do that? Or do I want to read with this little bit of free time that I have, do I want to read these passages in the big book to prepare for sponsoring someone else? And when I walk toward that, it builds my self-esteem and just builds that immunity, you know, from this disease. And I remember very early on in program, I had this moment, I had just recently put the food down. It was about a decade ago. And I thought, I don't know what to do. I want to eat right now. And I went into my daughter's bedroom and her clothes were all a mess. And I just got on my knees on the ground and I just folded everything in her dresser. It was something like that I could support her. And then I didn't say anything about it. And I just share that story because, gosh, when we are on thin ice, nothing has gotten me out of trouble more than putting my thoughts towards someone else. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much, Bessie O. And before I take Pearl R, let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 154, the third paragraph down. Of course he couldn't drink, and it ends with music and gay chatter still floated to him from that bar. And after Pearl, I'll take another lineup. Good morning, Pearl.
Good morning. This is Pearl R. from Arizona. Romancing not my food will have me in the gutter again. I don't need to dance with the gorilla. Instead, I can work the program tools that God has given me. There is a way out of this yielding into this disease, and I can surrender to Jesus this disease, and he will help me resist, and because I don't have the power in my own self to resist this disease, it will take over and destroy my life, and I will be miserable and in pain, and I can be free of that. I don't have to continue. I know a way, a different way now, that I'm abstinent and not my food is not going to kill me or help me. So with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Pearl R. from Arizona. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph, page 134, third paragraph down?
Mary G.
Mary G.
Elaine G.
Elaine G. Who else?
Hillary B.
Hillary was that?
Yes.
Hillary B.
Carly B.
Gotcha. Carly?
Carly B. Yes.
Got it.
Thank you.
Liz A.
Okay. Liz A.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. All right, let's stop there. I have Mary G., Elaine G., Hillary B., Carly V., Liz A., and Jordan L. Good lineup. All right, Mary G., you're up first, followed by Elaine G. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. This is Mary G., recovering in Rochester, New York, and grateful to be here and grateful to be abstinent. My going into my second week of abstinence after a relapse, I'm so grateful. And the passage gave me hope this morning because what it said to me was that God is waiting there to restore us to sanity. He restored Bill to sanity in that moment and brought him to right mind so that he could make a different choice. And that reminds me that God's grace is always available to me. I have the willingness to reach out for him and reach out to fellows for support and do the work with my sponsor, but God is a major player in all this, and I just have so much gratitude for that. So thanks, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Mary G. Up next is Elaine G., followed by Hillary B. Good morning, Elaine.
Hi, this is Elaine G. I hope I read the right paragraph. Anyway, it's the bottom of the page, you said. Last paragraph.
Page 154, the third paragraph down. Of course, he couldn't drink.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's what you said, 134. Anyway, I can't control whether or not he's going to drink or not, but I could set an example of what I do, my experience, strength, and hope. You know, I don't have any control over other people, only myself. Now, having to do with this paragraph, I looked up information for my sister having to do with her condition. To take the information I got, I don't know. But everyone knows that I spent 2 hours on this yesterday. Am I in control? No. but hopefully she will. Anyway, this morning I was on a meeting beside this one, and I find that meetings really help. Meetings. It just, people give suggestions, they experience strength and hope. Then it's planted in my brain, and I can apply it to my life. Thanks.
And thank you, Elaine Chi. Next is Hillary B., followed by Carly V. Good morning, Hillary.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I just want to share, my abstinence is relatively new still, but for me, it's quite long, like 4 months, almost 5 months. And but food has been calling to me. I have some physical challenges, and I don't like having physical challenges. It's not supposed to happen to me. And I was thinking food was calling to me because of my issues with that, which it was. So I did a 4 through 9. I first did a step 10, but that wasn't enough. So I did a 4 through 9 inventory just on this physical challenge, which I realized my resentment was at God. My resentment was at life, which is God. And I did a lot of clearing, and I felt relief. And the next day, the food was still calling me again. And what I had to see was I've been expanding my abstinence or my foods that I could eat, trying this, trying that. So I've been eating a lot of salty foods. And I added Ezekiel bread in, the Ezekiel bread that doesn't have any flour in it. And I wasn't even eating it. I wasn't even eating it every day. And when I did eat it, it was only one slice in a whole day. And I wasn't getting triggered and blah, blah, blah. But I realized all these different foods that I was adding in were changing the way I feel in some subtle way beyond my awareness. And I think, and it seems to have been setting me up to be thinking about food and losing, causing me to lose my food neutrality. So what I'm so grateful for, and what this paragraph reminds me of, is perhaps he could handle, say, 3 drinks. Well, perhaps I can handle, say, these different foods. Like, why do I even need different foods? Why do I have to add foods in? My abstinence has been working so well. Why do I need to change it? So right there, my thinking is walking down the lobby, not to the church directory, but to the music and gay chatter that I think will do something for me. And so I'm doing the best I can to stay in recovery, to stay connected to God, to do the work, so that I can see these things that in all the years that I've been working this program, I have never, ever seen, ever. I've never been able to see anything like this for myself. And so today, okay, real quick, today is trash day. And so I just put a bunch of stuff in that garbage outside that's going to be taken away today. Thank you, God, and thank all of you. Thanks for timing, especially.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks, Hillary B. Up next is Carly V, followed by Liz A. Good morning, Carly.
Hi, this is Carly V. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service today, Mo, and everyone who's here today. It's just so wonderful to connect other compulsive overeaters. Gosh, I could really, you know, connect to the passage, just the sneakiness of the disease, just how many times I've, you know, the disease has snuck back in there talking to me sweetly. you know, and in the past I've fallen for it, you know, over and over again, you know, forgetting I'm a compulsive overeater, forgetting I can't have those foods, forgetting that the food's not the solution to my problems. forgetting that the food, you know, how much it makes my life worse. And most importantly, forgetting what the solution is. Because, I mean, the food's more just the symptom of the bigger problem. And this program has brought me so much more than, you know, getting out of the misery of the food. It's brought a higher power in my life, and it's making me a better person. It's helped me with my fear and my bigger emotions. It helps me connect with other people, where before, when I was in the food, I had that feeling of loneliness and feeling so isolated and miserable. So that sneaky voice, and how I stay out of the sneaky voice now is I, you know, continue to take action in the program every day. I need to connect with other people with outreach calls. I need to go to meetings. I need to do readings. I need to pray. I need to meditate. I need to do all the things that, you know, that the big book says, and I'm learning from my fellows as well. And that helps me stay spiritually fit. And then the disease doesn't sneak in there in the same way. And I also need to pay attention when I start to feel off, or the food starts talking to me again, because I'm still recovering. And when that happens, I need to, again, connect with the program and connect with God, invite God into that. And that just helps so much, so immensely. I don't want to just ignore when the disease starts talking to me. And then the other thing I wanted to say was, sometimes I get like these big feelings where I'll feel real down or anxious, and I'll start to kind of freak out that something really big is wrong and I'm going to be stuck in that place. And what I'm learning is that those feelings have an end, and I don't have to just go to the food immediately to extinguish the feelings. I can just keep taking my actions, invite God in, and that's all I need to do. And then, you know, God will help me go remove those feelings when it's time. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Carly V. Up next is Liz A, followed by Jordan L. And after Jordan, we may have time for one or two more shares. Good morning. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. That there's a lot packed in this paragraph, you know. I also have been experiencing physical issues, and I have started going down the road of pour me, pour me, pour me, pour me a drink. You know, and I realized that I was really getting into fear. What if I need surgery? Then this, then that, and just going down that road. And, you know, thank God for the tools. You know, I did a 10th step, and then I had to do another 10th step. And what I realized is that I'm just relying on myself. I'm relying on myself for dealing, for coping, for what I want, afraid of losing what I want, you know, or what I have. And I asked God to please take away this fear and direct me to what he would have me be. And what I got is, you know, I have to be in the present, and I have to trust that God will help me, guide me, give me whatever I need with whatever comes up, you know. And it's always, always about God and my trust in God. And everything, you know, I had to read that paragraph in Dr. Paul, you know, acceptance. Nothing happens in God's world by mistake. It's not happening to me. Okay, it is just happening for me to go through an experience and learn from it and have more love for God. And that's just been such a gift. And, you know, we're so lucky. Bill had to go down the lobby to a church directory to try to find somebody who was a drunk that he could help out. We've got the vision list, which is huge. We've got meetings that we can just get a newcomer's name anytime. We can work with others. We can call a friend. We can read. We can pray. We can write. There's so many tools that we have, and we don't have to be afraid. Because we're not doing this. I am not doing this. I am not food neutral by myself. I could never do this. This has been a gift. And I think that's all I had to say. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Timing. Yeah, thanks, Liz A. And before I take Liz A, let me remind those that just got on the line where we're at. We're on page 154, the third paragraph down. Of course, he couldn't drink, and it ends with music and gay chatter still floated to him from the bar. So after Jordan, I can take a few more shares. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan Al. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. What a paragraph, huh? Going on this wild ride with Bill. he stumbles through this stuff in the beginning, you know? Because let's be real, Bill was not a super spiritual guy. He has, like, no idea what he's doing here, you know? But he's got an honest desire to stay sober, you know, and it's leading him through the dark tunnel here to try to figure this out. I can definitely relate to Bill as well, right? He's got some tough circumstances going on here. he's pretty early on in sobriety, you know, he's been sober about 6 months now. Pulling drunks off of bar stools. No one else has gotten sober. but he has stayed sober, you know? And I think the sentence that really jumps out to me is fear gripped him. Fear, we do an inventory, a fear inventory in step four, right? But we're not on step four yet. And right now, fear is a good thing. Fear is really motivating him to do something about the situation that he's in, instead of just sort of succumbing to these feelings that he's having about wanting to go into the bar and sit at a table and pretend like everything's okay and try to scrape an acquaintance and blah, 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 right? Like fear is actually really serving him here as a great reminder that he is an alcoholic and that he needs to do something different in this situation. I had some experience early on like this as well. I'd actually just come back from the OA birthday party. I was in the airport, right? I'd just come back from like this phenomenal conference with 1,000 abstinent compulsive overeaters. and I get to the airport and the thought hits me that, you know, the airport's got all kinds of stuff. It's like a compulsive overeater's dream of anything you're in the mood for, go for it kind of thing, you know? And that fear grips me, you know? I got that reminder. I am a compulsive overeater. I gotta be willing to do something different if I don't want to go back into the food. So those reminders are, this fear can be used as a good thing, as a tool, as God's tool to get to light a fire under your butt. So thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jordan L. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So we have time for one or two more quick shares. Who would like to take those spaces?
Marie R., New York.
Marie R.?
Yes, New York.
I got you. Anyone else? If not, we'll let you take. Who was that?
Deanne F. in New York.
All right, Deanne F. I don't know if we can get to you, but we'll try. Great. All right, Marie R., you're on.
Yes, thank you for letting me share. As far as reading the paragraph, I identified, you know, with this delusion in your head, you know, what the disease tells us. And I've been coming around on pretty consistently, maybe for about a year now, and haven't been able to really get any kind of abstinence, you know, because my brain was telling me that I'm not really, you know, exactly like you people, you know, and I don't need to wait, you know, measure my food. I don't need to do, you know, that's causing me to lose. I had every excuse and every answer, you know, that I really truly believed, you know, I'm a size 6 and, you know, if I gain 5 pounds, I restrict and then I lose it, you know, but it has nothing to do with what's going on in my brain right now, which is just mental torture. And, you know, this morning I had a heartfelt cry and I felt like, you know, for the first time I accepted step one, you know, that I have this, you know, and I'm not going to be able to eat whatever I want for the rest of my life, you know, like it just, like I have this disease, you know, and I looked at it as a disease of something that I have that I'm going to have to treat. You know, and it was the first time I took it seriously because I never took it seriously because I was never overweight, you know, but this has been my whole life, you know. I remember seeing fake fruit that my grandmother used to have in her kitchen, you know. They used to have fake fruit when you were a kid, and I used to just stare at it and wish it was real, you know, but that doesn't matter. I mean, I just really wanted to share that, you know, I kind of finally accepted. I had some acceptance today, you know, and as painful as it feels, it's almost kind of like a sort of a relief in a sense, you know, that I'm just full of shit all the time with this and the jig is up. And thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Marie R. DNF, I can give you 2 minutes.
Hey, Mo, okay, I'll take it. It's Deanne F. in New York. I'm gratefully recovered today by God's grace and mercy. And thank you for taking the meeting. And wow, this paragraph, you know, when you really like, when I sit here and like really, really dissect these words, every word has such incredible power and meaning. And the first thing I want to say is my gratitude that God gave Bill this ability to turn. So fear gripped Bill and then Bill gripped God. Like that's what ended up happening. But you know, when they say in here, insidious, I looked this up. I thought I knew what this word meant. It means proceeding in a gradual, subtle way with harmful effects. And the root of it means ambush and laying in wait. And that is what this disease is. It is always laying in wait to ambush us. And we have no defense until we turn away from the disease and towards our higher power. And I mean, when he says but here, of course he couldn't drink but. But is doubt. That's the disease. That's how it shows up. Questioning, even though, you know, I've been abstinent for 2 weeks from something, why can't I have it now? That's the insanity. When it says insidious insanity, that's what it's talking about. Perhaps I could have one. That's the insanity. That's the mental obsession. Like everything that we experience is right here in this paragraph. And this is a turning point. That's the only reason that all of us are here is because he did turn the other way. So thank you guys for letting me share. Have a beautiful day.
Yeah, perfect timing. Thank you very much, Deanne, for closing us out. I want to thank everybody for their shares this morning and for this great meeting. And we'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, and I will ask Juanice N. to read a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Yep. My name is Juanice. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, okay. My name is Juanice, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you. I pass.